You're listening to Vatican Radio. Britain's ambassador to the Holy See has welcomed Pope Francis's words to the diplomatic corps, saying that Monday's speech offers a practical prescription for peacemaking around the globe. Ambassador Sally Axworthy officially took up her post last September as Britain's new representative to the Vatican, one of 182 nations which enjoy full diplomatic relations with the Holy See. Just after the Pope's traditional New Year encounter with the ambassadors, she talked to me about her impressions and about the invitation for closer cooperation with the Holy See.
In this speech, I think he talks about many of the themes he's talked about before, but he also takes some of those themes a little bit further. I mean, one of the themes he's talked about before is ending conflicts through negotiation, and that appears again in this speech. So I understood the non-violence element of it to be that he, the Holy See, advocates resolving conflicts through negotiation, which I think the UK would strongly support.
So you wouldn't think that this is quite an ideal speech, if you like, in terms of the real world of politics and diplomacy?
Sometimes I find the way the Pope talks can seem quite abstract. But I thought one of the things that was interesting about this speech was right at the beginning he says he felt he needed to offer a word of hope, which can indicate a path on which to embark. And I felt he was trying to set out more of some practical things that he thinks could contribute to peace. It felt quite practical to me as well in the things he talked about. And it was interesting that he talked about the role of religion in tackling terrorism. I know he's talked about that before, but he talked about the need for religious and political leaders to work together. And he also acknowledged that religion is instrumentalized sometimes by terrorists, and therefore there needed to be a religious response as well. I thought that was quite interesting. And then I think the kind of broad definition of peace, the way he talked about it as being something that needed to encompass a need for development, a need for people to have opportunities, was also interesting. He sort of drew many of the things he's talked about previously, but he drew them together into a sort of whole, talking about migration as well, but migration in the sense of people feeling they needed to move because of conflict or because of poverty. So for me, he drew these things together, and I think there was an element of practicality in it. And right at the end, he sort of said that the Holy See and the Secretary of State were open, more or less open for collaboration, which again, sort of, to me, is a bit of a sort of signpost that maybe they're thinking more practically about what they can do. And some of the conflicts he mentioned as being ones where progress had been made were, of course, the ones where the Holy See had been involved. He mentioned the re-establishment of full diplomatic relations between the US and Cuba, and he also mentioned the progress in Colombia, which were two where the Holy See had played a positive role. So it was interesting that he mentioned those two.
Looking at the specific case in the UK regarding this question of religious and political leaders collaborating together for peace, Prime Minister Theresa May, we know she said that faith is important for her personal decision-making, but how much do you think the government is willing to support churches or more generally faith leaders in political or social decision-making?
I mean, I think the government is, you know, collaborates closely with religious leaders in the UK, with the Archbishop of Canterbury, but with other religious leaders too. And religious leaders play a part in our own society, a valuable part, which I think the government recognises. You know, I think the government does think about the role of religion and is very open to looking at how we can work more with religious leaders, particularly in conflict resolution.
You mentioned also another key question, that of migration. A large part of the Brexit referendum in the UK last year was about Britain taking back the country from the perceived invasion of migrants. Are you concerned that the government is in some way moving away from the kind of welcome that the Pope is talking about in this speech?
I think the government welcomes genuine refugees, and as you know, we're taking some of the most vulnerable refugees from Syria, and we've recently taken a large number of children that were near Calais. So I think the British government is committed to helping genuine refugees. Our policy, I was actually quite struck by some of the similarities. I know our policies are not the same, but some of the similarities between the things the Pope was saying and the things the British government has been saying. I mean, the Pope talked a lot about the things that make people migrate and the need for people to have opportunities, to have employment, jobs, and for there to be development in their own countries. And that's something the British government has talked quite a lot about too. And I mean, we haven't just talked about it, we've also put quite a lot of money into that. I think last year we spent £4 billion in aid to Africa. And as you know, we're one of the countries that spends 0.7% of GDP on humanitarian aid. So I think this idea that, you know, that you have a kind of holistic approach to migration, not just seeing it in terms of how you deal with the people when they come, but looking at the things that make people move, is something the Pope was talking about. And I think that's something the British government has been very focused on too.
Looking at the question of the European Union, the Pope talks specifically about the process of European unification as a unique opportunity for stability, peace and solidarity. Again, do you fear that the government is moving away from this as it looks at ways of disengaging, as it looks at ways of putting the results of the referendum into practice?
You've quoted the beginning of that paragraph, I think, about Europe. I mean, I was struck by the end of that paragraph, where the Pope said that the values that were the inspiration for that project, values are common to the entire continent and transcend the borders of the European Union itself. You know, I think the British government has said repeatedly that we're not leaving Europe, we're leaving the European Union, and that we will remain part of Europe, and we still have very close ties with Europe, and we share values with the rest of Europe. So, I mean, I think that comment by the Pope needs to be seen in balance by what he said subsequently.
Finally, the Pope talks about peace as a gift, a challenge, a commitment. What do you, Ambassador, what are you personally taking away from this speech as you look to the year ahead and the projects that your government will be working on in cooperation with the Holy See?
I see the speech as moving the Holy See's position on how to achieve peace, moving it forward a bit. It almost gives us a bit of a prescription for the elements that need to be present for there to be peace. I mean, it's an interesting speech. I think the Pope talks about peace as being, I think when you just quoted that bit about a challenge, a gift, a challenge and a commitment. I mean, when he says it's a challenge, he says because it's something that needs to be done constantly. And I see in this speech some scenes on which we can work with the Holy See. And I think it's also a little bit of an opening, perhaps, to do more with the Holy See in attempting to resolve conflicts in places in which they have a lot of influence.
My thanks to Sally Axworthy, Britain's ambassador to the Holy See.